getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. You're listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester. Dr. Tanya is a licensed naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, body talk practitioner, and edutainer with a passion for helping reduce pain and suffering and bringing more love, joy, and health into your life and into the world. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For more information about Dr. Tanya Winchester, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com. This is Farah of Tonic Podcast, and I'm delighted to be here with Dr. Tanya Winchester. And today we're going to talk about choice, and specifically your tagline, getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love.
Yeah, you know, I've been saying that as sort of my slogan for a long time. And that was, you know, ultimately my goal as a naturopathic doctor. I want to obviously get people healthy. That's why I'm here doing this work. And I want them to be happy, and then they'll do what they love. And I really have this deep belief that healthy, happy people doing what they love contributes to world peace. So I used to see this as sort of this line, like it was this progression, healthy, happy, doing what you love. But I have enough evidence in my practice now that it's not a linear thing anymore. It's actually a circle, because I see when people make the choice to do the things they love, even if it's, say, going against societal conventions, or even if it's not doing what their parents would want them to do, when they make that choice to do what they love, their health improves and their level of happiness improves. So I see it now as this circle. And I have actually skills now to kind of help people in that circle at any entry point.
Mm-hmm. So getting people healthy and helping them get on track with really committing to doing what they love. Doing what you love, is that, do you mean that as a profession or as a leisure or recreation or a side thing or both?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a paid thing. But if you're spending energy and time on things that make you feel good, I mean, maybe ultimately that could be something that you're paid for. Who knows? I think you can look at any profession and see that there's a possibility to make money in, you know, in any area. So it doesn't necessarily have to be that, but it certainly could lead to that.
And what about people who might not be connected with what, you know, if you ask a question, what do you love to do? And people might not know.
Yeah, and I would say that they do know, they're just not comfortable admitting and saying it out loud, because we all have those things that feel really natural to us. We all have those things that we would do as a kid that we could do for hours. We all have those things that we would do regardless of if we were getting paid for them. So I think it's really more about people not having the courage to say, yeah, this is the thing that really, really lights me up.
Mm-hmm. And maybe not having the language to express it or communicate it to others.
Yeah, definitely.
Who might be partners in their lives.
Yeah, for sure.
So what does it mean to make a commitment to doing what we love?
Well, it's a choice. And choices are very powerful. Choices are, they don't just happen at the level of thought. That's a decision. A choice is when we actually take an action step. We make a move, we behave in a certain way. And when we make choices, that's going to give us back more of essentially the energy of that choice. So if we're making a commitment, or if we're choosing to do what we love, we're going to get back more of what we love. And so it's, say I make, as just to kind of make a counterpoint, if I make a choice out of resentment, I do something because I feel like I have to, or I promise, but I didn't really want to promise, I'm just going to get more of that energy back, which was resentment. Or alternatively, if I make that choice out of, I'm making this commitment because I love this, I'm going to get more of that energy back.
And so that creates a positive feedback loop or positive spiral to make choices of doing things we love.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah.
And how do you balance doing things we love in context of relationships where we want to spend time with certain partners or relationships, or, you know, in context of all the responsibilities that a person has?
Yeah, and I would wonder, I would put that word, take that word responsibility and spin that a little bit. And don't you think it's true that we have a responsibility to do the things that we're gifted to do? And so if you have family or partners that, A, you're afraid to share your gift with, or B, don't understand it or don't want to have anything to do with it, I mean, again, you could make a choice to associate with different people that would support you in that way.
Mm-hmm. And so choice is defined as specifically an action, exactly. Not just a decision at the level of thought.
Correct. Yeah. It's the stuff that we actually do.
And are we talking about small choices every day or big momentous choices that we may shift direction?
Yes and yes. You know, I want to go back to that idea of the energy behind the choice. So if you're eating kale because your naturopathic doctor told you to eat kale, but you hate kale, you're eating kale out of sort of compliance, out of obligation even, out of maybe even fear, you're going to get those things back to you. Eat your kale, by the way, P.S. Only if you want to. But on the flip side, if you're making, say, I don't know, another kind of grand choice. I always use the example of like running away to New York and becoming a Broadway star. And if you're doing that because it feels light and free and easy to you, that's going to come back in that way. And we can flip that. So, or say you're marrying someone that you, maybe it's maybe more about the convenience, or maybe it's more about the security then. And so that's really, again, a base of fear. Like that's what you're going to be attracting back to you.
Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of really being connected to the energy that drives our, the choices and actions that we make.
Yeah, and a really telling exercise is if you take a log of all of the things you do in a day, or maybe even extend it to, say, 3 days. So you wake up, you brush your teeth, you empty your bowels, like write down all of the actions that you take over the course of the day. I drove my mom to the hospital. I had to pick up my friend's dog from doggy daycare, whatever. You write down all the things. Mm-hmm. So you get this time diary of all the choices that you made that day, and then maybe 2 days after, and then go back and fill in. So if you kind of do this on one side of the page, go back and actually write what the energy of each choice was for the whole 3 days, and you'll be so shocked at how much you're doing is out of more negative energies. When I first did this exercise, I was shocked at how much I was doing out of obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my main sort of values is freedom. It's important to me to be able to choose what my circumstances are, where I'm going, what I'm doing. And so I started to shift. So instead of, you know, maybe committing to things, I would protect my time and I would say no and set boundaries. So it's a very eye-opening exercise, and I do highly recommend you give it a try.
And when you were able to see how much of those activities were not based in the energy that you wanted to be in, did it also shift the way that you engaged in those activities? Like, yeah. I imagine you still brush your teeth and you still wash your face and you still do some of those things.
Yes.
So how did it shine a light on those specific activities?
Yeah, I didn't go on a hygiene strike or anything like that. Well, that was a good example. Like, brushing my teeth is something that I kind of just had to reframe it. Like, this is something that I'm not doing out of habit. I'm not doing because my mom's telling me to. It's like, no, it's helping me feel good. It's helping me feel healthy. It's helping my teeth be clean. Like, it's, so you can kind of reframe, because there's stuff that you just have to do in life, right? And so, but coming at it from a different energy is what's really key. The intention, mm-hmm. the intention behind it matters.
And I imagine that takes a lot of presence, just in being present in the moment to what our energy is and being able to choose what energy we want to do something with.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, people could take the same action. Like, we could both go and, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example. We could both say do like a 5K run as a, one of those sort of support, whatever cause kind of runs, right? You and I could both do that. And you may be going into it with the intention of supporting people around you or that sort of more kind of gifting energy. And I might go into it with like, oh, Farah's making me do this, run. So the same action is actually a very different energy.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. It really is based on the energy of an action. Exactly. It's not so much the action itself.
That's right. Yeah.
So anything else about choice? It seems like a really profound thing to really understand that everything we do involves an element of free will and choice.
100%. And it's very empowering, potentially a little bit scary, but it's very empowering to think that we actually can make a choice. Even in the toughest, most bindy situations, we have choice. We do have free will. And, you know, this can lead into sort of this really a definition of what karma is. And in my perspective, in my sort of frame of reference, karma isn't like I pinch you, you're going to pinch me, or someone's going to come and pinch me. It's, again, that energy that you're putting out there with that choice is going to come back to you. So if I'm making choices out of resentment, I get more resentment back. If I'm making choices out of violence, I get more violence back. If I'm making choices out of victimness, I'm going to get more victim back.
So it's more cause and effect than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And learning how to put certain... make choices that reflect what we want to experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, yes, definitely what we want to, what we volunteer to experience, and also the things that we're really here to experience. And I think every one of us is here for a reason. We all have a purpose, I believe, anyways, to be here on the planet at this time.
So what are some of the blocks that are in the way of us making choices that really reflect being empowered and being free?
I think fear is a really big one. Going back to that idea that you may be going against what convention or what society or what culture or what the church or whatever says is good, right, and true. So fear, I would say habit. Mm-hmm. We just do what we do because we've always done it, and there's neural pathways that keep us doing what we've always done. And I think third, we can go back and from a really spiritual perspective, look at our soul and our soul's biography and kind of identify the places in that soul's biography where choices were made that created this karma, this cause and effect of negative sort of choices coming back to us.
Mm-hmm. So in a case of fear, what would you recommend for someone who feels that that's a block?
Right.
Fear of rejection or fear of...
Yeah. A lot of it, you know, is fear of judgment or fear of being abandoned. Those would probably be the two main things. So humans are judgment machines. Like, we're always, we make meaning out of things. That's what we do as human beings, right? And so we know that you're going to be judged regardless. People that are on point, on path, on their passion are still judged, but they still do what they do because it's an important value to them. So the fear is, yeah, it's a safety mechanism, but it's just your brain. It's just your reptilian brain, and you can override that. I know we've done some podcasts before about changing your thoughts, and that would be a great example. Hey, wait, this fear isn't me. This is just my reptilian brain trying to keep me safe. I'm going to focus on blank if you move your attention. So that knowledge of just, yeah, you're going to be judged anyway, so you might as well do what you love.
Mm-hmm. So fear, and the other thing that you mentioned is... Habits.
Oh, fear. Yeah. Fear of judgment, fear of abandonment. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, if we go back historically and anthropologically, humans needed people around them to survive. You were part of a tribe, and if you did something against what the tribe was about, you would most likely be kicked out and you would probably not survive. So we do have this sort of deep ingrained going against convention fear that we're going to essentially get abandoned and not survive. Like, it's a very primal instinct. And of course, you know, that's not true anymore anyways.
Definitely not now. And then habit. Habit is such a powerful thing to create new habits and get unstuck from the habits we already have. What do you recommend to help people get unstuck from habits that might not be serving them at this particular point in time.
Yeah, the habit again is there because at some point it was a strategy to keep you safe. So that identification is really key. And the work that I've been doing with a coach in the last little while, his strategy on habits is if we try to ignore the habit, like the voice that calls us towards a habit is like a monster. And if we try to ignore that monster, it's just going to roar louder and get scarier. So he actually suggests dismissing that monster or that habit voice. This is just my habit voice talking, and you literally put up your hand as if you're in the 90s and you're saying, talk to the hand. I'm not having this conversation anymore. Again, I move my attention to you, focus on something with a more positive feel to it.
So creating a different kind of dialogue and not rejecting the voice or denying it, but just framing it in a way that acknowledges it's there and you can put your attention somewhere else.
Yes, and what's key, because I recognize that just having these thoughts in your mind are not choices, they're just still decisions, so you have to behave in a way that's different. So this is just my habit voice, I'm not having this conversation, I'm focused on my well-being, I'm going to eat this apple instead of this cake. And then you eat the apple, that's the choice. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. So it's not just a dialogue in your head, you actually follow through with an action.
That's right. Yeah.
So you mentioned a new training. Tell us about this new training.
Yeah, so I, because of this identification, happy, you know, or healthy, happy, doing what you love, and then seeing that doing what you love can actually filter into the health and the happiness, I wanted to kind of complete that circle for myself. So as a naturopathic doctor, I have all these tools that can help people get healthy. I have a light heart and I have a good sense of humor. I help people feel happy. I know that's ultimately your own choice, by the way. But the doing what you love, like how can I help people do what they love? And so I've actually trained in this new new spiritual development modality that is going to, that already is, it's helping people to A, identify who they are, what they're here to do, what their divine gifts are. And from that, we can actually look at that soul's biography that I just mentioned and see the places that are actually blocking those gifts from being accessed in this current reality. And so it's really, really cool stuff. I'm really excited about it. I've worked with a few practice clients and the feedback has just been really, really incredible. So it's ultimately about helping you get unstuck, move forward, get out of self-sabotage, and move towards the things that do you that make you feel good.
And what was some of the feedback you got from the people that you've worked with this method?
Yeah, one of the women said that this was the best thing she'd ever done, and she does a lot of different energy modalities as a patient. She said she got the most clarity. She had action steps at the end that she could actually implement. Again, taking the choices, like making the choices, and you know, she before had different types of sessions with people and they would just give her information. Mm-hmm. And this modality is really about, okay, how do we take this information and actually apply it to those choices that you're making? And that's where the transformation really is.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just information, it's an action plan.
Yes.
That's very specific to what the next steps are and what the next choices are.
Exactly. So now I've got my complete circle.
And was this method part of you coming to naturopathic medicine? Or how did you come in contact with this specific modality?
I have been watching this instructor for a while. She would always write these blog articles that would help me see things in a new way. And so there was an opportunity this summer to take her program and I jumped on board. So I just signed up for it.
And have there been any insights or learnings for you personally as you went through the program?
Yes, so I got to do this work for myself on my own behalf as well. And there was some new information, but it just also confirmed for me that, yeah, like I mentioned, my value is freedom. Like that's something that's really key for me. I don't like it when I'm bound into certain situations that I can't get out of. It showed me that I'm doing a pretty good job being on path. I am, especially incorporating this new work, I'm here doing what I'm, you know, meant to be doing, which is a nice affirmation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and how can people find out about what this, get yes. in touch with you in terms yeah. of trying this new thing out?
Yeah. So you can go to soultonic.ca. That's, and I'll put a link in the show notes here, but soultonic.ca.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester, getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For any health concern, it's always best to make an appointment to see a licensed medical practitioner. For more articles and blog posts, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com, or visit us in beautiful Nanaimo, BC at Tonic Naturopathic Clinic. Have a delightful day.